Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week I'm talking to Joe, and we're talking about something that doesn't always happen to everyone, but I think it's something that we all fear on a deep level, which is that sort of like big derailing injury, particularly when there's not like a clear sort of like path out. And you don't know, like, if it's going to get better and what happens when the thing that you love in running gets taken away from you. I do remember a little bit about you having a mystery injury, which I understand is still kind of a mystery, and I thought it would be sort of interesting to go through like what that process was like, both in terms of that but also like staying engaged in your training process through that and everything like that. So when did it sort of like pop up as a thing that started to bother you?
So I had been having some pain in my lower back and in my psoas on my left side. But I just thought it was training pain. Like I had just finished my biggest week of training before I did it was a summiting FKT type thing that I was aiming for. And I just figured it was fatigue and I was tired. And I went for a run with a friend. It was my last long run, my last long taper run. And I rolled my ankle. And I got up the next morning to do my recovery run and my ankle was a bit sore, but my quad was really sore and my adductor was really sore. And I just figured, again, it was just training soreness. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the day, I was limping. I could barely walk. And then I had a rest day, thought I was okay. It was my birthday and we went out to one of the national parks so that I could do a run.
Mm.
And I got 5Ks in and I couldn't run. I just couldn't, like, would barely walk, sat down to have lunch and then I couldn't walk. So I was like, yeah, I've really injured myself. But it was really weird because I rolled my ankle and my ankle was fine.
Yeah.
So it's all connected.
Yeah. Exercise physiologist did almost vomit when he saw me, like when he's like recording me walking back and forward when I had that big injury. He's like, this is like, forget running, we need to like teach you how to walk.
Yeah.
And it was similar. I was like, I went from like running to like could barely like walk, like, yeah. Certainly not pain, like without any pain, like, yeah. I was hobbling around and, you know, like I could not even like keep pace with the kids when I was like trying to walk them to school, and that's only like 200 meters away.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just hobbling everywhere. And I had a physical job at that time too. So I was like getting home and could not do anything when I got home. Because I was really invested in this run. And of course, I'm backwards and forwards with my coach. We did nothing for a week. And then I tried a walk run and I knew as soon as I tried to run, it's just not, this isn't going to happen. Like, I really am injured. And it's the first time I've been really injured, and it was scary because I had no idea what I'd done. Like, if it was my ankle, I could have understood.
Yeah, you'd like kill someone to have like a stress fracture at that point, because you're like a simple injury with a simple solution. Please. With a clear time frame.
Exactly. And,
you know, like, yeah.
Exactly. So then I went down because it was the end of October. It took me a while to get a referral. So I went to the doctor, I went to the physio. Physio couldn't work out anything. He didn't think I had a stress fracture because I wasn't showing any of the markers when he was testing, but couldn't work out what it was. I got referred to a sports doctor. We did x-rays. There was nothing on the x-rays. And by this time, it's like November, December, and everything in Otago shuts down for end of December, early January. But she was like, I couldn't hop on one leg. So she was like, well, maybe it is a stress fracture and it just didn't show up on the x-ray.
Yeah.
And then we finally got an MRI in January, and I did bone density and all those sorts of things as well. My bone density was off the chart, so that wasn't an issue. And there was nothing on the MRI. So, and by this time it was starting to come good, but still after like I had work stress going on, like, because I'd taken over the department and we were short staffed and working ridiculous hours on my feet. So I was still very sore at the end of the day. And it was just like, well, we don't know what's wrong. And I was like, but how do I fix it if I don't know what's wrong?
Yeah.
So the best thing that happened was I have a massage therapist that I see regularly, and she was like, I'm pretty sure it's coming from your back. And I invested in her, and I just started seeing her once a week instead of like once a month or once a fortnight. And she did wonders, like, but there were so many setbacks in there. Like, I think I would get better and then we'd try walk run and I'd go back to square one again. Like, no, you have to wait a bit longer. it was just months of uncertainty.
And it's such a roller coaster too, when you kind of like think like, oh, it's getting better, and then like I'll be able to start like doing my thing, and then it's like, no, you can't. And then you sort of like go back, and like I found one of the key things when I had that long thing was like the EP was always saying to me, like, even like if you're doing slightly more stuff, not necessarily running stuff, but slightly more stuff, and it's not getting any worse, that's still progress. So like we had to sort of like continually like reframe, because I'd be like, oh, like you go into like this real sort of like panic anytime like something flares up, because you're like, oh my god, it's happening again and I'm back to square one, and you know, like all of this sort of stuff. But like having somebody who is possibly slightly less emotionally reactive was helpful.
Yeah, it's huge, because I had time, like when I did start being able to do short runs, I would still feel stuff happening in my hip.
Yeah.
And I'd go to the physio and he'd be like, yeah, but was it pain or was it you can feel things happening, like there's a difference, like what are you feeling in there? And he's like, you're going to feel stuff in there for a while, like everything's changing, and like my whole running pattern's changed since that's happened. So because I essentially had to learn how to run again, because I didn't run for 4 months, 5 months. So, and we started right back at, okay, you are going for a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
That's it. And I was like, really? Yes, that's where you start.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those things where it's completely like I don't think, like even with like I definitely had like a lot of like feelings and phantom pains with a long injury, but even when I had the stress fracture, or what might have been like the beginning of a stress fracture, like, or might have caught it early, because it didn't, like something showed up on the x-ray but not really definitive, and I'm like, well, it doesn't matter if it's a stress reaction or a stress fracture, like
yeah, that's right,
it's the same. So but even with that, like people don't talk about like how much like phantom pain you get with that, you know. And I had to keep reminding myself, if the pain's moving around, then that means like that this is fine, you know. Yeah. And just sort of like readjusting yourself, because it got like you just have an awareness.
Oh, it's a hyper awareness.
Yeah.
ultra aware. Like I still have it, like out of my run yesterday, I'm still constantly checking in, like, no, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just hasn't gone away.
Exactly. And so how did you sort of like mentally cope with, like, obviously you're doing like rehabby type stuff, but it's, you know, like not in the mountains, you know, like not running, you're not cleared to walk. So what was that sort of process like with
it was a mess. Let's be honest. I was a mess. I was lucky in that the week before I got injured, I had actually organized to start with a mindset coach for one of my next big goals. Because I always felt like my mindset was letting me down with a lot of things. And he's a sports psychologist. And it just happened that I was working with him still through the injury. So there was a lot of reframing. There was a lot of anger and a lot of confusion because I just didn't know what was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really scary, like not knowing what happened. And not just the how do I fix it, it's how do I stop it from happening again.
Yeah.
Like, but the process was just fraught, I think is the best way to put it. Like there was depression in there for sure. Like days of me just sitting on the lounge, I can't move, I can't do anything, I feel useless, and I've lost my thing. Like,
yeah.
That keeps me sane, essentially. So I actually distanced myself completely from my community. Like I pulled back completely, yep. Didn't want anything to do with it. Didn't talk to my friends here that are runners because I didn't want to hear what they were doing. I didn't want to put myself through that. It was really hard, really, really hard. But, I mean, you have people that still check in with you. And sort of, so you're still connected, but yeah, I was resisting big time. I had like one friend message me, it's just like, I haven't heard from you in weeks, what's going on? And I always, I can't run. She's like, I don't care if you can't run, I just want to know how you are. But it was good in that I had to learn to find other things again. Because yeah. I had been so instilled in my running, especially since Sim had come back to living in New Zealand. So I wasn't solo parenting. All of a sudden yeah. I just went, that's it. I'm like, focus is only running. There's nothing else. Work, run, look after the family.
Yeah.
You know. So it's helped find a bit more balance, I think. In the end,
yeah, but no fun. No, and I mean, I remember too, like sometimes, like me just rocking up at the osteo, having done like none of the rehab or whatever, and just being close to tears, and just like I'm just too fucking depressed.
Yeah,
to
what's the point?
Make it happen, and you know, like she was really good in that. She's like, you know, like. That's okay, but for like was also good about being firm with like if you want this to work, you've got to work, and you know, and was sort of, but like having those sort of accountability type things built in, like with the EP and with the osteo,
yeah.
And also with people who weren't like family members. You know, who are not going to understand like what the loss is or what the fear yeah. is. You know, like they're going to understand that I'm cranky. Yeah. Get a real clear picture on that. But you know, like having people who are there, and it's sort of something that I think that I've carried through now. Like realize, like as somebody who's like juggling so many balls with like family and work and, you know, and running and everything else, is that having those people that are, I pay them to just care about me for an hour.
Yep.
And so I'm having that time where I'm not having to kind of like pretend I'm okay.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know?
And they ask the hard questions too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And keep you accountable, like you said. So my mindset coach was a big one for that.
Mm.
He was like, I'm seeing you every week. You have homework. You have to do this. Like, and it was all about little mini goals to get me along the way. Like, okay, so you can't run and you can't do a lot of work, but you like walking, but you can do your rehab exercises, and you need to set a schedule for that, and we need to set up a routine. Just like you used to have a training routine, this is your training routine now.
Yeah.
You do this. So is that switch, like if I want to get to the point where I can run again, I need to see this as my training now.
Like, yeah.
This is my routine. So that was good.
Did you have anyone sort of say to you like, oh, like maybe just give up on getting back?
Pretty sure my husband said that at least. Maybe you need to let it go. But I think it was from a place of love.
Yeah.
So much pain. But yeah, there was a few people. There was a few people at work who were really worried about me, because I mean it was physically obvious,
yeah,
that I couldn't do what I used to do, and they were like really worried, like maybe you shouldn't be thinking about running at all, like, but I just get angry at that. Maybe I shouldn't think about working anymore. Like, maybe that's half the problem. But they were few and far between, I think. But I was kind of surrounding myself with people who get it.
Like, yeah, yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's just, I did have, like, mostly it wasn't like sort of friends or family. It was like people who are a bit more external to that. So, like, sort of friends of like school mum people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like whatever. So people that you know, like that I would consider like acquaintances, yeah. Not friends. And they were sort of like aware of like how long I'd not been running. And there were periods of time in there where like to get through the rehab was like hours in the day. Like there were, it was like a lot. You know, and so I can see why people would look at it and go, like, how is this worth it?
Yeah,
you
yeah. Know?
Like, you just, there are so many other things. And I often say this to people too, like when people go, oh, you know, like, I would like to get into running, but I just hate it. And it's like, well, there are like 5 million other things that you can do that you might not, like, hate.
Yeah, exactly.
I give them a go. And so, you know, like got that sort of like a bit like, oh, you're spending so much time on this and there's no guarantee that you're going to get back to it. And, you know, like, and like I had the benefit that Michael, my EP, had a, like, it took me a while to find the person who could figure out what was wrong, because it was sort of like a bit of a similar process, in that I went to the physio. Physio was like, oh, like it's an entrapped nerve, but then like 4 weeks later it's not improved at all.
Yeah,
you know, and it's probably gotten worse.
I had that one as well. Yeah.
And then like going to the osteo, and like they were like, ah, there's something going on, but I'm not quite sure like what's happening. And then happened to land on somebody who was able to kind of look at it. And in my case, it was that like when he tested like the sort of like muscular strength, like there was one side that was incredibly weak, and he was like, use like push against this, and like I know mentally like I should be able to do what he's asking me to do, but it's just like not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was very lucky in that way, in that, like, he knew what the problem was.
Yeah.
And then there were kind of like clear goalposts along the way. It's like, once you can do four sets of 32 calf raises, then we progress to the next thing. So there was sort of like that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, had a lot of people sort of like real sort of like questioning, you know, like, maybe running's not for you, and, you know, and it was sort of like one of those things. It was like, yeah, like, if I loved it a little less, I probably would have just like found like
something else
to do. But it was also one of those things, because like my mum has a similar like hip thing to me, because we've both got that same sort of like scoliosis situation, which I guess you get like a bit of hip rotation.
Yeah.
And she did way too much lifting in less than ideal circumstances as a nurse, you know, and mm-hmm. so she gets hip pain now, and she sort of has treatment for it, but she's like, I wish that they'd caught it like when I was in my 40s. And so she, even though her relationship to my running has always been ambivalent, like at best, like, are we sure that's healthy? Are we sure that's safe? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She was really pleased that it got picked up, because it's the kind of thing that I started to notice other functional things that were, I had always kind of gone, oh, I'm just clumsy.
That's just, yeah.
You know? And oftentimes I would, you know, like stumble, like when I was walking, like not all the time, but just every now and then. And I started to notice through the rehab process, I'm like, oh, that's because my hip's dropping, because it doesn't have the strength to hold itself up, which is why I'm then like tripping over my foot, essentially, which sounds insane. But
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And so when you sort of start seeing that, and you start seeing what people are dealing with their, you know, like older parents, and you're like, even if running hadn't caught this, this is like a functional issue that would have caught up with me
eventually.
And I'm in the lucky position that I'm still like young enough where I can make some like good like improvements and progress on this. But yeah, like you couldn't get through all of that rehab without being like 100%, like, well, not like, no, I think that everyone goes in waves with it,
definitely,
and there were like the vast majority of my rehab exercises was like conversations in my mind about which one of them I hated the most, like, this was one I hate the most. I'll just get through this, and then I'll be like, actually, I really dislike all of this. You know, like all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, like, it is, I think it can be really easy to like look at it from the outside and go, this is about running, and it's like, well,
actually,
if this can happen running, like, this is like a functional thing that could like really impact on, you know, on things like down the
road, quality of life later on.
Yeah. So but like, it's hard to be that person with that real sort of like long-term lens. Like, at the time, you're just like, I found it really frustrating that I wasn't like even allowed to walk, because like beyond like very basic like things that I actually had to do, you know, like I was like going to like pick up the kids or something like that. But just because of like the lack of being outside, like, I just felt like I was enclosed most of the time. Like, when I finally got cleared for swimming, it was such a relief because I could like go out in open water and be outside. And even though I got eaten alive by these horrifying like I don't even know what they were, but there were some bugs down there. And even with putting on like
tropical strength, AeroGuard. I still got, like, had like all of these like bites underneath my swimsuit, but I was like, I don't care. Like, I get to be outside and I'm allowed to be sort of down there. And it was sort of like in like a bay area, like not just like at the pool.
Yeah.
And that made sort of like a big difference to my mental state as opposed to
time in nature. It's huge.
Indoors.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I struggled a lot too with guilt, like guilt that I was investing so much time, but also so much money into something that is only there for me.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of guilt around that as well. But yeah, long process.
Yeah, and it was one of those things too where it is like really easy to feel guilty about it, in that like the questions was like, oh well, like how long do you reckon that you'll have to have these regular osteo visits? And I'm like, the rest of my life. Like in reality, like it used to be they were for a period of time, you know, like every 2 weeks, and then when I'm in deep training I have maintenance appointments every month. At the moment, where there's not a lot of intensity and I'm just kind of like going to the gym and, you know, doing easy running, like I could easily kind of like push it out to like every few months or whatever, but it's never going away.
Yeah.
Like I'm never not gonna have to have that that appointment. And usually it's a combination of like I try to get to the osteo once a month and I go to the masseuse like once a month and probably like not at the same time. So every couple of weeks I'm having something. And yeah, like it is one of those things where you're like, oh, like it's not an insignificant expense.
Exactly.
And then meanwhile, like if one of the kids has like they have like their sort of like psychology appointment like every 4 weeks and it's like $200 or whatever it is, and I don't even blink, I'm like, oh, that's what it costs. I don't you know, you're not gonna not do it.
Exactly.
And I think that it's easy to think about that like for other people.
Yeah.
Rather than it is for ourselves. Like I know like Josh wanted to get this thing checked out, like a medical thing, which ended up being fine. And he could have gone through the public system, but the wait list was like 6 months. And he was like getting anxious about it. So I was like, I'm just going to pay private. It'll be like $1,500 or whatever it is. But at least I'm not going to be like anxious out of my mind for 6 months.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, like that makes sense. You know, it's like not worth being stressed about that kind of thing. But I would have a hard time
justifying it for yourself. That for
myself, yep. I think.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think it is just one of those things that I have gotten better with it over time, with just like me, well, that's what it costs. And, you know, like that there's particularly like I think with like once I got into the regular like massage appointments, I was like, hey, I can't go back now.
I know, yeah.
Like just from a self-care point of view, like I don't always sort of like get them as regularly as I have in the past, because my masseuse is very inconveniently moved to the Gold Coast, so she's only in like Ballina like once a week. So she gets booked out really easily. But it is like such a nice thing in my week, even if like I don't have anything that she's specifically working on, to just like go there and, you know, like have that. And, you know, I usually sort of like make sure like all my work's been done beforehand so I can get that and then just like enjoy it and, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think that there has been some big like positive, sort of recognizing like the things that really work for me. And sometimes too, like, sure, like if I had the time, like some of the things I could do for myself in terms of like self-massage and, you know, like rolling and, you know, stretching and like doing all of that sort of muscle activation and all that sort of stuff. But I also like having that option. It's like, hey, you know, like when I'm having like a crazy busy period at work, I'm probably better up to just up my appointments. And then I have to do less of that, like on my own. I just like go there and they sort of help me to do like whatever it is that I need to do. My unfortunately, my brain is still very hardwired for like for ages, just to kind of, as part of my rehab reward process, I would like go to the massage or go to the osteo and then get a burrito on my way home. So even now, and I'm not necessarily like doing that particularly, like so many things that were sort of closed with floods and whatever else, like I'll still be there and like I'll be doing the treatment and like my stomach will start up. Like, I even decided on the burrito this time.
But that's just how it works.
So, and it, particularly because like some of the osteo stuff, particularly to start with, was actually quite painful. Like it took, you know, like a fair amount of like one time she started working on my adductor and I wasn't expecting, it was a bit of a shock, and she was lucky that she didn't get kicked in the face, basically. Yeah. And it, so there was a lot of like sort of like bribery. It's like you go and do this and then you get your burrito.
Yeah,
how it works.
When my massage therapist was working on my psoas, I swear I thought I was going to vomit. Like it was so bad, so bad. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, not really. But
sometimes it is only my reputation of having a real poker face that gets me through. Like it's like, oh, like I could like almost black out here, like particularly on sort of like particularly like where I'm probably most tight is sort of like calves and glutes and, you know, like stuff like that. And but I have over time developed this reputation of having like a real poker face, which is just based on me going to my happy place. Just disassociate a little bit, go somewhere else, which is a skill that I have developed over many years of like being to the dentist far too many times, where I'm just like, I don't want to be here, so I'm just not. It's just like a mental tool. But both the masseuse and the PT have commented on like they never know like if I'm in, like if it's, is it hard, or like if I'm doing things. And and he's like, yeah, I would never know with you if it is or not, because like you just get that thing where I'm not wasting energy on grimacing. So when did it start sort of like turning around? Like were there a few false starts where you'd think it would be okay to go? And
yeah, so walking was fine and I was able to hike. For like, so we, I had the whole stepping stones too. Like I needed to be able to walk for 2Ks and then I needed to be able to walk for 3. And then we went to hiking so I could do a couple of hills. And I got up to 5Ks of hiking and I was fine. And so then we said, okay, we'll try like just 30-second runs, not fast, just take a few steps, see how you go. And I was okay. And then we went to 1 minute and I got sore again. Mm. So it was like, okay, we go right back to like, I think we went back to a 4K walk and did the whole process again. Like, take it slow, make sure you're doing your rehab. Yeah. So that happened twice. And this whole time I was still paying for a coach as well.
Yeah.
So I still had my coach on board and he was really good about like, because I felt guilty because I'm like, I can't do the work. Because I've always been like, I've got to do everything in my training plan. That OCD of I've got to have green on everything. And I'm messaging him going, no, we're back to walks again.
really drives me nuts on final search, how if you go over, it's like so quick to turn it like orange.
Yeah.
And it's like, my God, like it's just, I like the green.
Yeah, yeah.
The green is good.
The green. yeah, but when I finally got up to running, then it was really, there was just so much fear.
Mm.
So much fear all the time. Like the whole time I couldn't get out of my head, like probably the first month, every run walk, that something was going to go wrong. And then the whole run, all I was thinking about was my hip and that whole like left side. Like I was just hyper aware. But working with my mindset coach, it was like he would give me different things. Like he'd say, okay, so in your next run, I want you to think about this. Like, and I want you to mentally take notes and put them in your training peaks, like in your notes for your coach. I don't want to hear anything about like what's going on that left side unless it's injury related. Like, So there was a whole reframing. Lots of counting bunnies when I was running in the morning in the dark. So, because that's the other thing, running in the morning in the dark, there's not a lot to focus on.
Yeah.
So you just
constantly all the time in the world to think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I almost had to, like, they had to really, like, force my hand to go for a run. Like when I got the all clear, and in my mind I'd be like, as soon as I get that all clear, I'm going to be so excited. But it, because it had been 4 or 5 months, yep, by the time Michael said, oh, like, we'll start with a run, I had just sort of gotten into my rhythm of like weights and swimming and biking. Yep. And I was like, if I go and do this and it doesn't work out, it's like, it's going to be, we're going to rip my heart out all over again, and I'm okay in my little like safety zone here.
Yeah.
And so I was really like, I didn't want to go like on that first run, and I'm pretty sure I cried most of the way. Yeah. And like I talked to about, like, I'm like worried that I'm going to do this and it's going to like set me back. And he was like, no matter what happens, even if it doesn't work out, like, you've done all of this work, you've done all of this strength training, you know, like, it's not going to set you back. So I just had to sort of like push through that bit. But yeah, like, I think that for ages, you just like constantly waiting for something to go wrong.
And I, the first time I did a whole run, like no walking, I sat in the car and cried afterwards. Like a mixture of like fear, like, is that the last time that I'm going to be able, am I going to get out of the car when I get home and still be able to walk? And relief that I could actually run without walking, because I was terrified that I had lost that much fitness, that even though we'd done the nice slow build, that I was going to just not be able to. Like, it's so scary. It's so emotional. Like, running is so emotional. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's also, like, you also have sort of, like, I know, like, people would be like, oh, you look like from the gym and stuff, would be like, oh, you must be so excited to be back running again. And you're like, like, in theory I am. But it's a lot more complicated than that. And you know, and it's sort of like mentally you're sort of like on one level with what you expect a run to feel like based on you being a relatively fit person with a decent amount of that sort of behind you, and then you go to somebody who hasn't run for 5 months, and I had like really good cardio fitness from all of that time in, like, in the water and all of that time on the bike, but none of like the mechanical fitness yep. from the impact of running, and you have this real kind of like mismatch going on where you're like, this should feel easier, but it doesn't feel easier. And you know, like,
it feels
you're
sort of so hard,
like starting like from like the beginning again, but with this kind of like dissonance of, I know how this normally feels and this is not that, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure like what's happening, but yeah, so it wasn't, I think probably I'd also built up this idea of what it was going to feel like when I came back, and it was so much more complicated, like, why does my foot feel like that, like what's like what, why is that weird feeling in my calf? And the amount of times that I went to the masseuse or like osteo or whatever and got, I'm pretty sure like I have torn a muscle here, like something's yeah. happened yeah. and they're like, no, it's just inflamed, relax.
Yeah I had the same thing with my physio, and he was like, you're gonna have to like just roll with this, like you're going to get these sorts of aches and pains, and I know you're not used to it when you do like a 3K run, but this is what it is. Like,
there we are.
Yeah. And then like I said, my whole running style had changed too. So I had to settle into that new style of running, which is hard as well. Like, because it does feel completely different. Like,
yeah.
It's a world apart from the way I used to run. So.
I had a real trouble, which I think in part was like because we'd worked a lot on like the form side of things, I couldn't like run slower.
Yep.
When I sort of came back. So like normally like my sort of easy running pace, depending on like where my fitness is at, could be anywhere in between, you know, like generally in between like 6 to 7 minutes
yep.
per kilometer. And I was only doing like shortish runs and then like walk breaks, but I could not run slower in those runs than like 5 minute pace, which is, people are like, that's a great problem to have. But it was like, it was sort of, it was taxing yeah. on like my cardio, but with the new sort of all of the stuff that we'd done, all of the hamstring work that we'd done, all of that stuff to like get the posterior chain to do its thing, so I wasn't relying on like being like really quad and, you know, and sort of like calf dominant.
Yep.
I was just like, yep, I can't slow this down. This is just what it is. So I would like finish, even when we started doing continuous runs of like about 3 to 4 Ks, I was like, be exhausted at the end. It's just like, ran that all at like around 5 minute pace, but it doesn't slow down. So like, so yeah, it's just a completely different experience.
It is. Yeah, totally. Totally.
And when you were coming back, were you able to do that on trail, or did you have to sort of like do it on flatter things?
It was all flat. Like everything was flat for like the first, well, I've only just started to do mountains in the last month.
Yeah.
Like, so it's 12 months next week since I got injured.
Yeah.
And I've only just started to go back into mountains now, like actual running. So everything was flat. And then I made the conscious decision of doing a trail race, but it was a flatter trail race.
Yep.
Because I didn't feel like I was ready to go back into the mountains yet either. Because there's a lot of psychological stuff involved in being in the mountains too for a decent amount of time. And I needed to feel comfortable with being able to be out there on my own and be confident that I could be.
Yeah. And that you could be out there and come back without needing copter to pick you up.
Exactly. Very much so.
All those people who climb Mount Warning in the dark.
Oh gosh.
There's always people getting picked up.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
And so that must have been like a when you weren't going into the mountains for that, were you doing any like hiking?
I was allowed to do hiking, and I did a little bit of mountain hiking, but not a lot. It was actually really hard because there was another woman who's a friend of mine who got injured at the same time, and she was out in mountains a lot sooner than I was.
Mm.
And hearing that and seeing that and me sticking to flat took a lot of strength, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was determined that I was going to come back better than when I got injured, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
I wanted to be a better runner. So, like, I had big discussions with my coach about it. Like, what should we do? Should I go straight back into mountains? Or, and it was like, no, we need to really work on your actual running. Like, make sure that the running is solid before we start adding in all that vert. So it
does take a lot of discipline and a lot of patience. Like, I did find it useful, like, having someone who, like, had real sort of, like, hard lines about you can do this, you can't do this. You know, like, if you want to be able to run, then you're, you know, like, you have to be able to do 32 hamstring raises in a row without cramping, you know, like, and that's like a real concrete thing.
Yep.
And then after that, even when we got into running, he was like forcing me to do things that were really outside my comfort zone. Like, yep. When I went through sort of doing those 200 meter grass oval sprints and 600 meters, where it was like goes against everything you do in endurance, because it was all about like as fast as you can possibly go, and it's only going to get slower from there. So like the first one has to be
the fastest,
absolutely all out, and mentally preparing for that, and like it's gonna suck. and just ignoring that you've got other things going on. But it was so good to see how those things, like in my mind, I'm like, well, this would be so much more comfortable for me if I could just run 200 meters on flat road, straight line, no turning, you know, like mentally, it's a lot more comfortable for me to do it that way. And like, but doing it on the grass was so much more. Like one of the big things that I had to fix up was my obliques. And so like all of that turning, that's what it was sort of like working on, and you're just getting a lot stronger in the legs from like running on grass and you know, like whatever else. And so, yeah, like I think that if I hadn't had someone with really like clear ideas of like what I had to do, then it would have been a lot. I probably would have been a bit lost, actually, in sort of coming back, because it was like you do this, and then when this is pain free, then you do this, and now we'll progress to this, and you know you can do your long runs if you want, but you're going to continue to sprint. It's like no, you know, and like also just sort of like having to kind of like break down those sprints and figure out, like, because every week I go back to him and he'd be like, okay, but do it again and faster, like, okay. And then I was sort of then having to break down, okay, like how can this get faster, like what, you know, like. And so I went through a period, obviously not when it's bindi season, because you're not doing any barefoot running on that grass track in bindi season. But when it's not, like before, it was sort of like just coming out of winter, I was able to do it, and it was so much faster than running in shoes. And I was like, that's really interesting, because I was wearing really minimalist shoes on the track there, and even that barrier between like my foot and the ground was enough to have like a significant impact. And you know, he sort of taught me too about like not using the GPS and always running from mark to mark, because you know, like when you're going in circles, that's going to be a bit different, and you know, all of that sort of stuff. So having those sort of like mental challenges to overcome, like, I think help, because it's just like anything to keep you engaged in
in the
process, you know, like whatever it takes, like anywhere you can kind of like eke out this is something that looks like progress, then, you know.
Yeah, every little thing is like a win. You have to sort of, I'm going to celebrate that.
Exactly. So how's it been since going back into the mountains now that you've been doing that over the last month?
It's good. Yeah, like I'm like, it's fine and I haven't had any issues, but I'm still in my head over it. Mm. Like I said, yesterday I was out in the mountains, and particularly running downhill, I'm very aware of the load and how my foot placement is and where my body is, and constantly checking in still.
There are so many variables like with sort of like mountain running or trail running that you don't really have to think about on like flat or on road or like whatever.
I've begun to embrace road, like, for my recovery runs, because it's like I can just switch off for a bit and just run.
It is interesting, like I remember like one of the when I first did Great Ocean Road, and it's like it is road, but it's very hilly. And not really intentionally at the time, but because of where I live, which was on top of a hill, there's only one way to go. Like, you got to go down and then go up, which is like my least favorite way of doing things. Like, go up and then down. But sort of as part of that, I did a lot of it must have been that program I was working at the time, but I did a lot of downhill sprinting. And it was one of those things where you mentally get into it's like it's cheating because you're going downhill. But it was like on the program to do like these sort of like downhill
sprints.
And what I found, like, then when I went to do the Great Ocean Road, is that my quads just didn't get beat up. Sort of like that downhill, and I was like, oh yeah, like this actually sort of like worked out for me, because it was like it's like one of those roads that's like about, you know, like 2 to 3 kilometers of downhill, like just pretty sort of
relentless,
like constant. It just is. A bad year.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the bad year. I don't want to do that.
I'm so sore after yesterday, because it's like the third big mountain run that I've done, and it was like, it's like 5Ks of downhill that's steep, and oh my god, my quads were smashed this morning. But it was a good sore.
That's what you want. So are you still working with like your running coach and your mindset coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Still with my coach. Just had a big catch up with him a couple of weeks ago. So I've got like this 5-year plan. So we're on board together for another 5 years by the looks of it. My mindset coach has been phenomenal. Like, it's not just about the running stuff or the sports stuff. It's affected everything. Like, so good to have someone just to bounce things off. But to also, it's that accountability thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, we've been doing a DBT training thing at work. They're sort of developing the program, so they gave the opportunity for employees to do it to sort of like help with the feedback, but we're going through it as anyone would go through the program. Like working through some of it has been really good, because like I tend to be just like plow forward at all costs type of person, but having something which really asks me to take a step back, kind of like actually observe, actually look at it, like kind of like question, like, why am I doing that? Like, what kind of, like, if I'm having a really strong reaction, like, what threat is real or imagined here? And, you know, like, and it has given me the opportunity to kind of like really sort of like look at, particularly like post having COVID, where sort of like the training is just like not looked like it has before. And there's just, I mean, at this stage, I could pretty much do any run, but I'm like aware that I'm not like fully recovered, and I don't really know like when that will happen. But I also know it won't happen by me like waiting to get better either. Like, part of it involves me like doing stuff. But it's also been sort of like when you have those sort of like enforced breaks, like, it has been really good to kind of like take a step back from it and go like why am I choosing this type of training? Yep. Like, what makes sense for my life? You know, like, I've been doing this for a long time, and maybe it's something that I wanted, you know, like 8 years ago. Is it still something I want? Like, maybe it is. And I've just been like okay with the limbo associated with that. And it is sort of, and just being like doing things and then just like taking a step back and being like aware of what my response is to
it. Yeah, that's been a good thing for me too.
Resistance is. And it was interesting the other day. I was like, right, I want to get back into doing my mobility videos, which I've been incredibly slack with. So like I sort of started on the weekend, and it was a really interesting experience because like I was doing that and I had like a really like a much stronger sense of purpose, I suppose, in doing that than what I felt in what a lot of the other things that I might have been doing recently. And I was like, I sort of had this moment where I was like, oh, like I actually need to be like setting my own program, making my own choices, making my own priorities for this to like actually work, because I've been kind of like, you know, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably like jump on somebody else's program just for the accountability, and then kind of got halfway through it and like, yeah, your brain doesn't work like that. I was like, I can't do this because I don't, like, if I don't believe in the science, then I can't, like,
it doesn't make sense to you.
I can't do that. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter, like, you know. So that's been sort of like quite good, but yeah, I do feel like it's still sort of like ongoing, and that's probably a good thing, is just like always just be sort of like checking in. And I think particularly as I've had all of these events that I've registered for kind of like come and go or, you know, like, so like with sort of like Melbourne, but also like in a few weeks is the Panpack Masters, which I'm registered for, but, and it's only in the Gold Coast, but I'm not going to go because it's like I'm not in the kind of shape where that
want to be
a fun time for me. You know, like where you've got sort of like multiple events over a few days, and I'm not fit enough to feel like it would sort of like mean anything. Like, I would want to go if I trained for it, but I haven't had the opportunity to train for it. So I'm not going to go. And you also sort of like weighing up, like, it's not like necessarily, even though it's on the Gold Coast, I'd have to stay up there, and it's like I can run a slow 5k here. You know, like
so
like it's one of those things that they do every 2 years, and this one has been put off for ages because of COVID, so I'll just like put it in as like something that I will do like the next time it pops up. But so what are your what is your 5-year goal?
I'm not sharing that yet.
If you were giving someone advice who was like making that transition from road to trail and in terms of like their eating, what would be your recommendations?
Eat early and often. Because the further along you get, the harder it is to eat.
Yeah.
Like your stomach just doesn't want to digest the longer you're out there, and it's harder to remember because your brain's just not with it. Mm-hmm. So I have a timer on my watch. Every 15 minutes I need to nibble. So it can just be like a little tiny pinch of food, but yeah. I need to be eating. Just, yeah, you don't want to be eating like a whole sandwich and trying to run. Like just have a bite, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep moving, that sort of thing. But I still use gels as well, like because it's a good way to get a lot of calories in at once. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, get better at it. Like, I'm pretty good at throwing that stuff down the back of my throat.
Yeah,
but it's practice. I also know that there's a limit to the gels, which you don't really, yeah, like, see too much in sort of, like, half marathon to marathon on the road. Although in the marathon I do, like, there are times when I have gone, like, over the edge with the gels, like, in that sort of time domain.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed too is that what I would need fueling wise for a road run is significantly less like water and food than what I would need like on a trail, because like I'm paying it so much more of a cognitive load,
yeah,
with like paying attention to where your feet are and, you know, everything like that. So when I've like put stuff in my pack for a trail run, even one that's like not super hilly, I usually run out like much more so than what I would expect, because yeah, I think it is one of those things where you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, it's running, and you're like, yeah, but it's a different sport.
It is, yeah, it really is. And I would say too, like, take stuff you like and make sure you have salty and sweet, because people tend to go sweet, 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 and it's like, no, you need salty stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, and there are so many salty things to choose from.
There are.
We did a while back, did a road run with some people from the gym, and somebody bought salted roast potatoes.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
She's a trail runner, so she always has like all of the equipment. She knows what she's doing, you know.
Thank you so much to Jo for joining us this week. Since we've recorded this, she's actually come on as a coach in Run Club, which is really exciting. So if you'd like to find out more about that or do the 2-week free trial, all of the links are in the show notes or in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. And I will chat to you next time.